You know what's horrible? When you're wearing spandex and your junk pops out. That's what's horrible. And that happened to a young man today or yesterday at the NFL Combine. And the NFL Combine cracks me up anyway, if you've ever watched any footage of it, because you have these giant men. And I mean, you've seen NFL players or prospects. They're giant. And linemen are giant and strong, but a lot of them are also bouncy. They're big. They're huge men. And they have to wear spandex so that the weirdo scouts can look over every inch of their body like cattle and go, well, you know, his toes point out a little bit and his knees are a little knocky. And, you know, he has some man boobage hair there. We don't enjoy it. So we've all been embarrassed. We've all had, maybe we all haven't, but some of us have had wardrobe malfunctions in the past. I'm hoping your wardrobe malfunctions have not risen to this level. Mississippi State defensive tackle Chris Jones is a huge man. He is a giant man. He was running the 40-yard dash at the combine, which is one of the major things that they look at. They want to see how fast you can run. Now, he is 6'6". He weighs 310 pounds. He has a 34.5-inch arms and 10.75-inch hands. Those are big hands, big arms. He's a big man. And he was wedged into little tight pants and a tank top. Very tight. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, you wear compression shorts daily. Weren't those originally made to be under shorts? You know, you'd wear gym shorts and you'd wear the compression shorts, the Under Armour or the spandex stuff, underneath to keep things nice and snug and to help your muscles and circulation and all
that. Right, and then the jersey and the jersey pants go over.
Right. See, all right, then I'm not crazy because that's how I remember them. And I have to be honest, I'm a little freaked out by dudes who wear them as just outerwear with nothing under. There's a guy at my gym, and I see him every morning. I have to avert my eyes because he wears just the compression shorts and sometimes no shoes, which very unhygienic at the gym with all the sweat and fluids and everything that's on the floor. Because my gym is like working out at San Quentin. My gym is not fancy. It's me and a bunch of guys who are doing hard time. And then like five women thrown in. I don't know. If I was a woman, I'd be afraid to work out there. But listen, I don't know. But anyway, this guy doesn't wear anything over his spandex. And he's one of those loud gym guys. He's grunting and he's groaning and the spandex is just screaming, help me! You know, you could almost hear his pants pleading to be covered up. So all right. So anyway, they should be underneath. What happened to this guy? Well, you know what? You're just going to have to hang on because we have very important things to take care of. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But now I must tell you the weather because that is ever on everyone's mind constant. We all want to know about the weather. So here's the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 50. That sounds nice. But then tonight, snow and sleet are likely. Freezing rain is possible. It'll become all snow after midnight, a low around 28. Tomorrow, snow continues with a high near 33, mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high near 30, and Thursday, chance of snow again, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 30. Right now, 34 at O'Hare, 36 at Midway, and along the lake, it is 37 degrees. In Traffic Central, here's Susan Berkus.
Eden's an easy 15-minute trip in and out of Lake Cook. Kennedy and the Eisenhower on the inbound side, they're tapping the brakes right near the loop, but no major delays. Stevenson slows just a bit onto Lakeshore Drive due to ongoing construction, and you're good to go on the area tollways and the roadways into and out of Northwest Indiana. Susan Berkus, WGN Traffic Central.
Andrew Ladd is back where he belongs with your Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I can't wait to get started.
I don't know. You need a place to stay? I got a garage.
Yeah.
I got you penciled in the second line, dude, so I suggest you be ready.
First line?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. I got him in the second line unless he's ready to play on the first line.
Coach Steve Cochran.
Just call him that. He gets weird if you don't.
Welcomes back Andrew Ladd.
Very grateful and excited to be back in a Hawks uniform.
Start every day with the Blackhawks conversation on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Ovation's Health Therapy. You've heard about Ovation all over the radio and seen it on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox TV. For thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair, Ovation's Health Therapy and the unconditional 100% money-back guarantee is the buzz everyone's talking about.
I started using Ovation because of the commercials I heard on the radio. I saw an improvement in my hair immediately. It was shiny and easy to manage, and I'm not seeing large amounts of hair in my brush after washing. Ovation is the best product I've found for my hair. I'll use it as long as you keep making it.
Stop the breakage caused from harsh chemicals and heat styling. Restore dry, brittle, and damaged hair to a softer, smoother, healthier, more beautiful appearance. Guaranteed.
Grow your hair thicker, stronger, and longer. Simply log on to ovationhair.com and click on WGN at checkout to receive a special introductory discount. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to select WGN at checkout for your special discount. ovationhair.com.
If you or someone you know is blind from retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, there may now be light at the end of the tunnel. The FDA has approved a prosthesis system that provides some artificial vision for those blinded by RP. Known as the Argus II Retinal Prosthesis System and designated by FDA as a humanitarian device, this is the only FDA-approved treatment for end-stage retinitis pigmentosa. Find out more by calling 800-499-7620, 800-499-7620, to learn more about an FDA-approved system that restores some vision for those blinded by RP. Call 800-499-7620. Call now. Argus II is indicated for use in patients with profound RP who are 25 years or older with bare light or no light perception in both eyes and who have a previous history of useful form vision. Patients may not be eligible due to certain ocular diseases, conditions, or structures that could prevent the Argus II from working, or a successful implantation or adequate healing from surgery, or the presence of a metallic or active implantable device in the head. Side effects include conjunctival erosion or dehiscence, endophthalmitis, hypotony, retinal detachment, and dislodgement of the retinal tract.
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini at 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11. This video haunts me, because back in the day, when I was much larger, this was when Olivia Newton-John mocked a lot of really fat dudes in this. They were all on exercise bikes and sweaty and slovenly. And I used to feel I was being mocked, but I didn't feel quite as bad as Mississippi State defensive tackle Chris Jones. If you're just joining us, he was at the NFL Combine. He was running the 40-yard dash. He was wearing only spandex, the Under Armour, because Under Armour is a sponsor. So he's running, and I've been trying all night to figure out a way to put this delicately. As he was running, the shorts that were supposed to keep everything in, well, you know, sometimes when things are really tight, they push, imagine toothpaste tube, and you squeeze it real hard at the bottom, and stuff comes out the top. Well, that's kind of what happened to poor Chris Jones. He was running as fast as he can, being 310 pounds at 6'6", and he was doing very well. When all of a sudden, little Chris decided, I've had enough of being jammed in these shorts, I'm jumping out. So little Chris jumped out. Now big Chris, knowing that he was at the combine and everybody was watching, kept running and then realized as he was coming to the end, well, that's where all the cameras are and everybody in the NFL is going to be watching, everybody on TV is going to be watching, and then he decides, I can't really tuck little Chris back in, so I'm going to take a dive. And he dove and slid, and as he was down there, he readjusted himself and you know, covered himself back up in spandex. But I still don't understand why they make them. You could have other shorts over those. Unless everybody who scouts for the NFL is a perv. And maybe that's the case. But why, come on, seriously. I understand you are looking for grade-A quality meat. And that's what, this is just like if you went to a cattle show. That's exactly what it is. All the teams in the NFL are looking for prize cattle. And that's not a slight on the athletes. That's a slam on the NFL. Because they treat these guys at the combine just like meat. Every square inch of their body is being looked at. And now, really, every I don't think it's square. I didn't see it. I know in the slow-mo videos you can't see it. I didn't need to do that much research. I trust the story. I figured out what it is. I saw the poor guy laying on the ground, reaching down. And we've all made adjustments as men. You have to do that sometimes. But, have you ever had, I've only had that sort of wardrobe malfunction once. And, again, it goes back to when I was much heavier. And my pants had a tendency, because I'd try to wear them up on my stomach. I was never one of those guys who wore his pants under his belly. I always kind of wore them up over it. But because my belly was made of jelly, sometimes my pants would wiggle down on their own. Well, one day I'm at my old house, our first house, and it was a little Cape Cod. So I'm walking up the steps, like a 5-step porch up to the front door, and I'm carrying groceries in both hands. And as I'm walking up the steps, I feel my pants start to go. Well, instead of the smart thing would have been to just set the groceries down. You may say, Brian, why didn't you set the grocery down? Because I'm an idiot. There's no two ways about it. I thought I could get to the door and then somehow make it in. Well, I got to the top of the stairs and down went my pants, right to the ankles. So there I am, standing on my front porch, groceries in both hands with my pants around my ankles.
What weather are we talking about here?
This is the fall, so I'm wearing long pants. As I want to do in cooler weather. But not cold enough where I had a long jacket. It was pants and a shirt weather. I don't remember the exact temperature. Would that make the story better?
No, just if it was like a blizzard.
Let's go 68, 70, something like that. Still long pants, but not cold enough to need a jacket that would have covered my lower region. So thankfully, there weren't too many people around. There was nobody walking by my house, but I don't know if people were looking out from their windows. I was quite popular in the neighborhood. When my arrival always was heralded by
quick,
cheers.
Honey, Brian's home from the grocery store.
Are his pants going down again? Look at that fat man walk up those stairs. Doot, doot, doot. And then sparks would be shooting out from my corduroys. La, la, la. Try to go up the stairs. So we feel bad, don't we, for Chris Jones? Of course we
did. I had that happen freshman year of college.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was wearing
shorts and was walking back. And, this was like 2 or 3 weeks in. And I was escorting a young lady from the classroom back to the dorm room, not for romantic liaison, but just.
Just a tete-a-tete?
Hey, I live in the same dorm. We should walk home together,
Did you carry your books?
Laying the groundwork. I did not. Uh-huh. But sure enough, with 10 feet left to go to the door, I took a step forward, one too many, and they just came right down.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Were you a commando?
I was not. I was not commando.
Thank goodness.
I did have a long enough shirt. But the damage was done.
Now, I've got to ask, does she take that as an overt move? I thought you were just trying to walk me back. Now your pants are around your ankles. How do you play that off?
I the look of sadness / disgust in her face, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I just couldn't find my belt this morning.
Wow.
And
unless you're trying to graduate from clown college. Having your pants just dropped down. Yeah. Hello.
I don't think I ever walked her home from a class again. So
did she just run anytime she saw you coming by? Here's the guy whose pants fall down. Don't go near him, Barbara. He dropped his pants. We were only walking home. I had just met him.
Right. We went from the occasional, hey, how's it going, to the, if you don't remember it, quote unquote, ever meeting. I don't remember ever meeting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she completely blocked you out
of
her mind.
I think I hated it too because I was so embarrassed. But it's just kind of oh,
yeah, you can't play that off.
No, there's no easy way to be like, hey.
No, once your pants are around your ankles, there's only there's only one thing to do. Just go up.
Jump in a swimming pool.
Yeah, take a peek. Soak this all in. What do you think? You want to see the backyard too? All right, I'm gonna turn around. You enjoy that. Enjoy that little peekaboo. Quickly, a couple texts on one text. Is it the phrasing? Is that what got you?
That are the 24 hours you and I have both been up.
Well, listen, fatigue is a wonderful thing. Last year, their senior year, my daughter and her friends decided they didn't want to go through the whole trying to find a date for prom, and they went as a group with one escort, a gay male friend. They had a ball, and I know of two other groups that were all girls that went. Yeah, I know. That is a thing. And listen, if you don't have a date and you still want to go to the dance with your friends, why not? Go ahead. And then from the 606, you've never been loved until you've been loved by an Irish woman, and I'm not talking about sex either. Wow, look at that. All right. We're going to take that into consideration. Now, Dan and I would probably just drop our pants in front of them and go, hey, what do you think of that? Huh? Is that a Blarney Stone? I don't think so. All right, let's do this, and then I'll probably be escorted out of the building. It's Brian for Nick on 720 WGN. Nick will be back with you tomorrow morning at 2. Thankfully, Dan is still here today, and Susan is here, so we are having a lot of fun. The opening bell coming your way at 5 o'clock. We've got a Blackhawks Express this morning, too, coming up sometime this half hour. I say it like it's a big mystery. Sometime. Oh, when will I play it? When will he play it? Who knows? Probably right after we do the traffic or the weather in the traffic. That's usually when we play it, isn't it? You guys know the drill. Who am I kidding? I have all these things that we were going to try to get to. Some we can save, some we cannot. But I'll try to touch on a few of them before we get out of here because I think of this a lot. Now, if you have a child in college, they want to be adults. They're learning a lot of things. They're getting a lot of book knowledge. College education is a wonderful thing, but sometimes it doesn't teach you real-world skills. You graduate and you've got a degree and you think you've got the world by the tail. You've had a number of tete-a-tetes with your professors. You've learned things, but there are life skills that you did not learn in college. We found this list on mental flaws, and I looked at it, and a lot of it makes a lot of sense. And I'm wondering if there are life skills that you think everyone should know, whether they were in college or not, that you see people don't have and you just don't understand why. 312-981-7200 is, of course, how you get a hold of me. That's the phone and the text. So the number one life skill that you don't learn in college, they say, is how to negotiate your salary, which is true. A lot of people never learn how to do that. I'm not the best at that kind of thing. The thought of holding out for more money once a new graduate lands an offer may sound a little far-fetched. Not working to reach the best terms can cost you, though. It's a topic that makes a lot of people nervous, but most employers expect potential hires to negotiate their terms. If your school has a career service department, seek their help on the subject or ask a friend or family member for their ideas on how to get the ball rolling. Yeah, and you have to be realistic. You do research on what that job pays, and you go from there. If you know your job pays nothing, don't expect to go in and make a fortune, like that one millennial who worked for Yelp that wrote that letter. She expected to get everything for her entry level position. How to do paperwork? You learn how to write papers when you got out of school. Dan, did you know how to do paperwork?
I think it was probably covered in these student loan forms I had to fill out.
That's true.
After.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you know. How to do your taxes is another thing. You know how you do your taxes? Unless you're doing the easy form, you either hire an accountant or you get one of those. Now it's so much easier to do your taxes. The computer programs are that. I still go to an accountant because of my vast financial estate I have to have all taken care of. Right.
Do you itemize?
Oh, I have to, yes. When you're an independent contractor or self-employed, you itemize a lot. And that's why I go to an accountant, because I don't want to end up in debtor's prison. Do they still have those?
They do not, but I know there's a call to bring them back.
Of course, because I'm roaming around the earth, me and my ilk, in debt. No, I just don't want to end up in trouble with the government, because the IRS's boot is large, and it would fit right on my neck. And so I don't want to do anything that would aggravate them. I want to be a good, upstanding, taxpaying citizen.
Why do I imagine you dressed as Oliver Twist in that situation?
Sure. If I get audited, I'm going in I'm going in with a cardboard box. I'm going to be dressed in nothing but rags. Perhaps I borrow that guy from Mississippi State's shorts. when I go in by ill-fitting spandex to, you know, garner sympathy from the government, from the revenuer, before he takes my still. They say you don't learn how to cook for yourself. If you don't know how to cook for yourself, you're not very bright. Because this was something that was told to me as a child, and I believe it to this day. If you can read, you can cook. And if you're a person getting out of college, you're probably around 20. And if you can't cook, so you don't have to be a gourmet cook, but if you can't cook a meal for yourself, if you can't make a couple of eggs, or if you can't have somebody come over and you can't make them dinner, you're sad. Come on. It's not that hard. You know? And college isn't supposed to teach you to do that. Did you learn how to cook in college other than ramen noodles and microwave burritos? That's what I learned to cook in college.
Yeah,
but I knew how to cook before I went to college.
No, we had a food court.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't have to cook because I went either to the cafeteria or, you know, Domino's was always around. But, when I started dating, I wanted to be able to, you know, woo my lady with some of my culinary skills.
What would be your go-to dish for a first date?
I'm trying to remember, Dan, because it's been such a long time since I dated or cared about dating. But I would, you know, you go with a nice pasta. Maybe chicken breast was always good. Ladies like the chicken breast, and it was hard to really screw that up.
Right.
I never went into anything real messy, because you don't want to get messy on the first date. It was always simple, you know. But even people appreciate the effort, even if it's a simple effort, you know? And I think a lady appreciates a man who can cook. And the funny thing is, I have a wife and I have 4 sisters-in-law who are all wonderful women, my wife included. So all 5 of those women cannot cook.
Interesting.
All 4 of my brothers and I can cook, and we do most of the cooking. And we didn't learn it in college. We learned it on the streets, where all good lessons are learned.
With your buddy Oliver Twist.
That's right. When I learned how to panhandle and beg and get more porridge from the guy who ran the debtor's prison. You don't learn how to dress for the occasion. I think that's falling away. I think most colleges, when you get to a certain level, if you're in a department, they're telling you how to dress for interviews. Somebody is telling you how to dress. You know how to do that. How to find a place to live. They're saying you don't learn that life skill in college. Again, I know some people don't, but most people have to find somewhere to live. You know, I know now next year my daughter will be studying abroad, but her senior year she will be back at school, and they're already starting to look for apartments or a house to rent or something like that. You got to find a place to live. So you look at that. You learn how to read a lease. It says they don't teach you how to be a tenant. I don't believe that to be. This list is flawed. They don't teach you how to be a homeowner, sure, because you're in college and you're like $1 bazillion in debt. So you're not. They don't think you're going to buy a house. They're going to be happy if you get an entry-level position. How to manage your finances. I think that's something that they should teach in high school. Forget about college. I think simple bookkeeping, how to balance a checkbook, how to manage money, that should be a high school requirement.
I think they're trying to do it in grade school.
I think that's great. You know, you got to pass the Constitution test, which I think is terrific. But I also think you should learn how to manage your finances, because how many kids, once you go to college, and maybe they've stopped doing this now, but I know when I was in college, and I would wager when you were in college too, Dan, in the student center, there were always companies willing to give you a credit card, you know? And when you're 19 or 20, you really shouldn't have a credit card if you've never dealt with credit, because you know what a credit card is good for then? The whole bar gets around on me. Oh, we got to get some pizza. Don't worry, I'll put it on my card, because you don't think you ever have to pay it back. It's magic. I hand you a piece of plastic. You hand me pizza. That's phenomenal. And then all of a sudden you get a bill. You go, what's this? Huh? $458. Are you insane? At 29% interest? Yeah, welcome to the real world.
But you have that blanket they gave you.
Well, sure, you have the blanket, and that'll keep you warm when you're sleeping on the streets, because you have no money to afford a place to live. So it all turns back around. How to branch out? says most people leave college with a core group of friends with whom they have built relationships over 4 years. And it's easier to keep in touch with those people than it is to talk to strangers. Well, that's always the case. Who wants to talk to strangers? Don't give in to the temptation to stick with the familiar. Networking is a crucial skill in most careers. Well, that's different, I think, than just plain old branching out. And the other one, they say, is the chameleon. Brian, when I was in high school, my business teacher told me that if you don't smoke and you put that money, the money you save away, you can have a car after 10 years. That's good. That's a good life lesson, I guess, to teach in high school, right? Sounds good to me. At the time, we're going back to my pair of pants falling down around my ankles. Brian, at the time, it sounds like you were in dire need of suspenders. Probably. I wore a belt all the time. It wasn't like I was Dan, just hoping my shorts would fall off as I swiveled my hips like Elvis walking a girl home, so that when I got to the door, suddenly, oh, I don't know what happened. Wink, wink. Well, now that they're down there, I know how you operated, Dan. It was very horrible. Susan's horrified just hearing the story. And if we had an HR department, she would report both of us now for this sort of indecency. All right. Where are you? Is that where you are, Susan? Yeah, well, there.
No,
there
so.
You are. That one. All right.
See, I'm so flustered after the content here.
Sure. This is NC-17. This is NS. This is not safe for work. And we're at work. That's what makes this such a conundrum. Hey, guess what we've got coming up after we do this? Yeah, conundrum. I said it. Tete-a-tete and conundrum. Those are the words of the day.
I'm impressed.
Listen, I'm not, but I'm glad somebody is.